Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today.
We are in an era of great trauma, particularly in the ethical field. Definitions of ethics are critical, especially today. The history of our country has a different record, however. A couple of centuries ago, a great theologian in the New England states by the name of Jonathan Edwards preached a sermon to his congregation entitled, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." He had definite boundaries. He knew where the absolutes are. But today, situation ethics has no absolutes. Nothing is really right or wrong, they tell us, except as it may affect someone else. They remind me of the ancient Epicureans in the time of the apostles. Their theory was, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Live it up today. Don't spare yourself anything. Have a good time. Have fun, fun, fun. But you know what? The Christian life is a different story. The Christian life is controlled by standards derived from the Bible. Discipline is a part of reality in the Christian life. All conduct is a matter of the will. And the will is the distinctive characteristic imparted unto us by the act of the divine Creator. The will is united to reason. We are a threefold being, you know, body, soul, and spirit. Yes, the Bible refers to us that way. Paul prayed that the Lord might preserve the Thessalonians in body, soul, and spirit unto the day of Jesus Christ. So with this threefold being, we have certain relationships with the outside world. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 6:12-20, words that laid the truth on the line. He had an amazing insight into the human personality and human behavior. I want to share with you now this scripture. That's 1 Corinthians 6:12-20. Here now is the word of God. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, my friend, I propose that Christian behavior is inseparably united to three basic facts related to the body that the Apostle Paul brings to us here. First, for the Christian, the body is for the Lord by creation. When you go back to the book of Genesis, you learn that God fashioned the human body as it pleased him. Marvelous. I would just remind you that Adam was not a baby. Adam was created a full-grown man. I have a friend who once asked me if I thought Adam had a belly button. I thought that was a stupid question. But anyway, God made Adam in his own likeness. So the body is for the Lord by creation. The body is our environmental awareness. I mentioned that we are body, soul, and spirit. The body is our environmental awareness. We have five senses. We have sight, hearing, feeling, tasting, smelling. By these five senses, we are aware of our environment. where we are, and what is going on around us. Now the Apostle says, all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. So the lawful things are not necessarily the expedient things. How you conduct yourself is based on the lawfulness. There are several considerations to take into account. Is it profitable? Is it worthwhile? Does it help? Christian behavior takes careful account that the body is the Lord's by His creation. Yes, my friend? The body is for the Lord by creation. He has the right to it. My question to you is, have you given it to Him? The second fact is, the body is a member of Christ by redemption. Look at verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? What right then do I have to take a member of Christ and make it a member of a harlot? The Lord helped Paul to use very strong words there. When he made that suggestion, he said, God forbid. That means may it never be so. The restriction is very clear. You are no longer master of your body. You are now the servant. Christ is the master. He is the one who has right over your body if you are a Christian. To take control of your body is to deny Christ's ownership. I think the secular feminist movement could learn a great deal from this verse. She insists on her own right over her body. Well, she doesn't have a right over her body. Now, of course, a secular woman doesn't have Christ's ownership in that sense, in the sense that we Christians do. And yet she does not have the right over her own body in the measure and dimension that she speaks of it. A right divinely given, but the outcome has been determined. She has rights, yes, and she can make choices. But she does not realize that the outcome of that choice has been determined by the Lord, and it will work out inscrutably. However, on the other hand, the preborn child is not her body. She can't make it her body, or they wouldn't take it out of her body the way they do in abortion. Now, the Christian behavior recognizes that the body is a member of Christ by redemption. The sex revolution today is a curse upon America. I believe the judgment on those living loosely are the sexually transmitted diseases, many of them. Surely the monogamous society is God's will. The apostle says in verse 18, two words, very important words. Flee fornication. Don't stay around it. Don't meditate on it. So then the body is a member of Christ by redemption, and that plays into the whole concept of human and Christian behavior. And thirdly, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit by possession. Conversion changes the resident in the heart. The Apostle Paul later on in this book teaches us that no one can call Jesus Lord except by the Spirit of God. I know there's a great deal of conflict today in various parts of the world about what it means to receive the Holy Spirit. Some say, well, I am born again, but I haven't received the Holy Spirit. I would like to inform you that if you are born again, you have received the Holy Spirit, because that is exactly what the Apostle Paul says, and I quote it for you. I will turn to it in my Bible now and read it for you exactly like it is in 1 Corinthians 12:3. Now listen. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So if you have confessed Jesus as your Lord, you have the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that Holy Spirit is a gift from God. Yes. Which you have of God. That's verse 19. Which you have of God, and you are not your own. Furthermore, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit when he spoke to the disciples, you remember? He said he would send him. He would be with them and would be in them. So now, you are not your own, the apostle says. And by the way, you know, this is not absentee ownership. Oh, no. The Holy Spirit comes in and dwells in your heart, if you're a born-again Christian, and he has your body by possession. You are bought with a price. What is the price? The price is the blood of Jesus. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He has the divine right in your body. If it were not for the blood of Jesus Christ shed on Calvary's cross, you and I would be lost forever. Yes, that's right, forever. No hope, absolutely no hope. He died on the cross. He shed his blood on the cross so that you and I could have peace with God. Oh, let me share with you the great truth of 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be a sin offering for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's much involved in that verse which I cannot go into detail for you now. Think of it. I want you to be sure to catch exactly the way I read it. For he who knew no sin was made a sin offering for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What we cannot achieve, what we cannot ascertain in our own spirit, in our own effort, we can attain by the precious sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen. Christian behavior that takes into account and rests upon these three facts is on an entirely different level than the non-Christian behavior. We have relations with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit, as Paul instructs, on a practical approach. The body is the Lord's by creation. The body is a member of Christ by redemption. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit by possession. With these facts in place, Christian behavior will be different from the world. Oh yes, amen. And now, let us pray. Oh God, some of these thoughts are deep, beyond us on the first try. But Father, I pray that my friend and I both may come to understand more clearly how our behavior is associated and linked to the triune Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. As we reflect upon this, teach us, dear Lord, to walk in truth, to love the truth, and to minister the truth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Yoder, for reminding us that a genuine relationship with Christ will result in a changed life. Now, we do not earn our salvation by doing good works. That's true. But good works are evidence that the change in our lives is real. Now, friend, you could benefit by having an audio copy of this message. If you request this message, we'll include the next three in the series. So if you want an audio copy of today's program, then write to us and ask for it. And be sure to tell us when you write, whether you want it on CD or on cassette. Our mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or go to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and send us your letter by the email link that's provided there. Again, to receive your audio copy, ask for program number 1517. Once again, that mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And the web address is www.heraldsofhope.org. Now be sure to join us next week as we continue our study in 1 Corinthians. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.